The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello and welcome to the Desi Outsiders podcast. I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And this week we come to you with the last brain dump of season 2. And as always, nothing can prepare you for the tangents because at the end of the episode, even we struggle to figure out where it all started.
So let's jump right into the show. I want to start off this episode by addressing something that you brought up recently, Meenal, which is that, you know, what about our monthly brain dumps do our listeners enjoy? So we decided at the beginning when we started this podcast 6 months ago. Six or has it been seven? 7 months, right?
You're the one who always counts. It's not.
Yeah, it's been close to 7 months. We decided back then that on the last week of every month, or at least every fourth episode, we will sit down and dump all of our thoughts onto our microphones and in a sense into the ears of our audience. Much the same way that I do on the last working day of every month on the blog. So, you know, as we both know, and maybe our audience has also noticed, we haven't been very consistent with this presentation of our brain dumps.
Yeah, well, Ankita, that's mainly because we're also experimenting, and somehow we came up with the idea of recording our brain dumps in a video format, which both of us realized wasn't a great idea because we had to extract the audio from these videos, and it's very difficult to understand what's actually going on through the audio if you're not watching us as we speak. And when you're watching a video, you get to see our facial expressions, our gestures, yeah, and everything else that we're doing. So when you're listening to the audio, it means that you'll hear long pauses or just the random giggle here and there, mainly from me.
I remember the first episode, the first brain dump, especially where it was a long video. It was like a 30-minute video. Yeah. And halfway through, we would just make faces at each other and giggle, and in the audio form.
Yeah, there's no context, so nobody knows what's going on. So we decided that it wasn't the best, to sound professional, user experience we wanted to give you in season one. And so now in season two, we've come with just the audio format for all of you.
Yeah, and you know, in season two so far, we've done two brain dumps, one in Feb and another one in March of this year. The February brain dump, if you remember, was where Meenal described all the gory scenes from delivery rooms that she's been in as a medical student. Yeah, and in March, see, this is what my good memory does.
Yeah. I'm really scared of it.
In March, we talked about, it was soon after your birthday, I remember, and we just talked about how humans tend to fixate on romantic relationships more than anything else in their lives. And no matter what's going wrong, they always want to come back and talk about romance. So both these episodes were received in very different ways by our listeners. And we've also been taking notes. We've also been sitting here with our little notepads, and we've been looking at these differences, you know, be it via emails or messages that we receive from you guys, or from, you know, the number of times we see people go back and play these episodes.
So we just wanted to ask, you know, our listeners, what do you think of our brain dumps? What do you like, dislike? I want to say, what do you hate? But I'd rather just not know. But hopefully,
I want to know, but I hope there's nothing you hate.
You can just send them to Ankita, don't send them to me. But hopefully you have things that you like and that you love, and we would like to know what they are because we want to bring more of it to you.
Also, this is the last brain dump of this season. Can you believe it? Can you believe it, Meenal? I'm asking you. Can you believe it?
Oh, my silence probably says it all. That
I can't.
Like, I don't have emotions. Like, there's no emotion coming out of me right now.
It's not as if we have 10 seasons. We're just on season 2. But it's still a big deal to us that this is the last brain dump of the season. Okay, fine, to me. And I think that this might be the best time to introspect and look back on our patterns from season one and discuss with you guys what you want to hear from us. You are our audience, after all, and we would like to cater to you in the best way possible. So do leave a comment on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at The Desi Outsiders, or send us an email to mail@desioutsiders.com. Because please, please, please help us make season three even better for you.
Ankita, you just make everything sound so robotic, and like I feel like I'm working in a factory line.
It's how my brain works.
I know your brain works like you're writing a blog. Everything has to be systematic, and everything has to be. So can we just not try and concentrate too much and just let the conversation flow like a brain dump is supposed to?
Yeah, that's like, you mean like how we ended up in the delivery room back in February with all of your gory details.
Actually, speaking of delivery rooms, Ankita, I almost dropped a newborn child today.
What?
I'm just kidding. I just wanted to give you a heart attack.
Oh my God. You know what? I shouldn't be laughing. Okay. Here's the thing. This is why I got a heart attack, because there was a time back in India when I was a student, I used to live in a hostel, which was very close to a hospital. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there were all these nurses who were training in the hospital and working in the hospital. And mostly these nurses used to live in the hostel with me. So the people I interacted with were these nurses, and they were always preparing for their IELTS exams. And because I was an English lit student, they would come up to me with their English doubts, and they would ask me if they could talk to me and practice speaking in English and all that. So it's in these like interactions that I would get to hear a lot of stories from their hospitals as well. And one of these nurses told me that at one point they were delivering a baby in the labor room, and like the nurse who was responsible for holding, so I think towards the end, I'm not sure, you can correct me if I'm wrong, towards the end when the baby is almost like completely come out, in the end it just slips out and you have to hold the baby. So there's someone in charge who's like, mm-hmm. there with a towel and is waiting to just hold the baby as it comes out.
Yeah, you just have to catch it.
You have to catch it, sort of.
I'm just like kidding, catch a baby, come on, and get the, you don't shoot, I don't know, babies out like.
I swear to God, because I'm so,
this is so fun. I'm just like imagining babies literally shooting out of.
Have you seen the movie Ace Ventura where he goes and presses the stomach and the baby shoots out into the father's life? Okay, fine. Anyway,
no,
that's the image I have in mind, right? Then that's the image I formed when this nurse was telling me the story that the baby was kind of like shooting out of the vagina or something, and someone was holding, like there to hold the baby with a towel. But unfortunately, this nurse couldn't like hold the baby, and it slipped and the baby fell on the floor. And the mother was obviously in a lot of pain, so she didn't know what was going on. And in India, it's not common for anyone else to be in the delivery room when the baby is born, uh-huh. like a husband.
Yeah.
No one saw but the doctor and the nurses, and the baby immediately died. And they, because the mother was in pain, she obviously was not seeing what was happening. They actually declared that as...
a stillborn.
You know, baby was stillborn.
Are you joking?
That is something that was, which is why even you said you dropped a newborn.
Oh my God, I feel so bad for making that joke now.
Yeah, I freaked out because I heard this and I don't know.
So like, obviously, because, so Ankita, when I was in India about 2-3 years ago,
yeah,
I was in the surgery department and I was assisting some surgeons with an abdominal surgery.
Right.
Now, the surgery... I'm laughing at it now. It wasn't funny at the time, but...
Right.
So the incision was supposed to be made on the right side of the abdomen, but it was made on the left side instead.
How do you mess that up?
No. So the thing is that when you make an incision, you've left a scar yeah. already.
Yeah.
And if you make an incision in the wrong place on yeah. someone's body, it's a lawsuit. Like, they can take you yeah. to court.
Yeah.
So that's not it. That's like the nice thing. Let me yeah. tell you what actually happened. When they looked yeah. at the patient's name, they realized that he was the director of the hospital.
Oh my God, you have to be kidding.
So they realized that the person they made the mistake on was the director of the hospital. And this is, for those who are listening, who are around Delhi or know Delhi, is in Moolchand Hospital, which is quite a big hospital.
Yeah.
And they realized that they made the wrong incision on the director of the hospital. And there was a massive argument going on in the theater. While the poor guy was obviously under anesthetic and he had no idea what was going on. He had no idea that a wrong incision was made. And the surgeons were trying to come up with a solution. Like, what can we do to make sure that this doesn't look bad on us?
Yeah.
But as a student, I was just standing there like, what the hell? Like, yeah. These small mistakes, like, drop... An incision isn't as severe as dropping a baby, but...
I mean, for all I know, this is just a myth in the hospital. I don't know if they were just telling me for the sake of... I don't know if this really happened, but I heard this and this has never left my...
It sounds like something that could happen. But these are the things that they don't prepare you for as a doctor. The only thing that I've learned related to lawsuits and everything is only in pharmacology, because we know, like, pharmaceutical companies and drugs and medicines, there's so much involved there, you know, the side effects of the drugs, and patients can actually get you in trouble. That's the only thing we've learned. But no one's ever said to us, like, oh, you know, you're carrying... What happens if you drop an organ in the middle of a surgery?
Oh, my God.
What if you drop a kidney? Yeah.
It happened on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I know. Probably dropped a kidney or something. I know, because she's an idiot. But anyway.
But yeah, speaking of medicine and medical stuff, how was your exam yesterday?
The exam was fine, Ankita. But I just realized yesterday that I've probably done around 20 to 25 final exams in the 5 years I've been here.
Yeah.
Probably. And there's the worst thing about it is waiting.
How do you mean?
It's just waiting. So they tell us the exam is at 3 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
So we go in at 3. And then, again, our exams are a bit different because we have to pick our questions from, like, a box.
Yeah.
So before...
That's so weird. I'm still wrapping my head around...
Yeah, so before we get the dates for our exam... they give us like a list of 120 questions or 200 questions. So we have the questions ready.
Yeah.
We just have to know how to answer them properly and everything. So then we have to pick 3 questions. So I get so anxious because I don't know what question I'm going to get. Yeah. It could be the question you didn't study or the question you decided that it was...
Oh, please. I know there are no questions that you don't study.
Oh,
you had like 300, 400 questions to prepare in December and you actually went through every single one of them, like day in, day out.
That was, to be fair, that one, I think I left out a few questions in that one.
Yeah.
But I think that the worst thing is that I still don't know how to control this anxious feeling of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what question am I going to get? What teacher am I going to get? Yeah. And you know, Ankita, most of the time, I'm the type of person that if it's not in my control, I usually just tend to be like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's just in exams that I can't, because I'm like, I've studied so hard, I have to get the right question, to get the right teacher.
Another thing I find really weird is that you study these 200 questions, 300 questions, whatever number of questions, mm-hmm. and then you go appear for this exam and you're asked only like one or two. And that just blows my mind.
You one or two, because those one or two questions can be related to all the other questions as well in a different way.
Like, I'm sure that even like from one question, from the answer you give, it may lead on to another question. I understand that. But still, I feel that there's so much preparation that goes into it. Like you say, I have a small exam. It's just 70 questions. And I still think about the amount of prep work that you do. Only to be asked like 2 or 3 questions.
It is quite annoying. It is like, especially when you have 300 questions and they ask you 3.
Yeah.
You're like, is it even worth going? Shall I just study the first 10 questions? I might get the first 3.
Yeah. Do you want to tell our listeners what was happening right before we started recording this podcast?
Yeah. So not just do we have to pick our questions, but we also have to book our exams online. There's a system where we have to go online to book our exams.
Hmm.
So if you don't get the date that you want, it means that either you have to wait for a later date, which means that you finish your exams later, or you get stuck with an earlier date, which also means you're screwed because it means that you have very little time to study. So I had to disappear because I almost had a heart attack because these times are so stressful for me.
So this time, the exam that you were trying to book today, like a few minutes ago, you have dates on the 2nd, the 3rd, and the 9th, if I'm
wrong. I didn't get the day I wanted, so I'm
the day you wanted
right now.
The day you wanted was my second wedding anniversary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The 9th of May?
9th of May.
Oh, crap. Yeah. Well, whoops.
Yeah, so you didn't... I actually, like, made a mental note that Meenal would be writing... Not writing an exam. That's the thing. You'll be giving an exam.
Yeah.
On my anniversary, but looks like that's not happening, is it?
Oh, damn. Need to find a present.
Oh, yeah, but you know this whole thing when you just disappeared for some time to start looking for a date and to book the date and everything, and you were like panicking and you were cutting calls. And
I was not panicking.
You were hanging up on me.
Oh my God, Ankita, do not make me sound like a stress ball, because I'm not.
You're like, Ankita, I'll call you after some time. Just
That is such bullshit, Ankita. Please,
anyway,
just because you exaggerate stuff in your blog, you can't exaggerate stuff on the podcast.
We decided that you would go 5 minutes before you had to like book the venue and book the not the venue the date,
venue
the date.
Ankita, you say your venue as if I'm booking my wedding or something.
That's not what I meant, but I meant that you just left 10 minutes in advance, so I thought you might be really stressed about it. But you know what? That actually reminded me. So when I was sitting here all alone because you left me and you disappeared.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I left you alone for 5 minutes in your own home, in your own room.
When that happened, I got reminded of something that happened just this morning. So I have major news to share with you, okay? I'll get to that at the end of my story, but I need to start somewhere. So so Priyanka, whom we interviewed last week, she and I are childhood best friends. And those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, please go back and listen to episode 26, which was the previous episode. Now, back to my story. Priyanka and I, from the time we were really young, we started reading Harry Potter together, and like we were complete Potterheads. We were always reading the books, watching the movies.
Okay, Ankita, can you hurry up? Like, I'm just not interested in Harry Potter. It's so boring.
When I was in London with her, we were just like watching all the movies once again, and
okay,
we were
so
repeating.
What's the point of a story? You hurry
I'll get
up.
To it. Please don't put so much pressure on me. I'll get to it. Okay. So we've been doing a lot of Harry Potter stuff in London, and we decided that we wanted to go and watch Harry Potter.
You went to London to do Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah, we did all the Harry Potter stuff almost. Oh, like, it's just Harry Potter Studios that is left. So anyway, so we made a pact that we would watch Harry Potter and the Cursed Child together. And we actually walked in front of the theater. We saw everything. We were like, someday we're getting in. And you know that the bookings, like the show is booked, completely booked out till 2019. So
no, I don't know.
I was like,
you're saying,
didn't you know that? Like, didn't you know? Okay, it's
like,
completely,
how did you not know that?
It's completely booked out till 2019. That's how like busy it is. It plays 3 days a week. Still, it's like completely booked out. And we're like, when are we going to watch this? And we were really stressed about it. But yesterday I saw that if we went online from 10:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. in the UK, we could actually like somehow manage to get into queue for a viewing in 2018. Okay. So Priyanka and I decided that we were going to do it in 2018. So we at 10:30 today morning, I was there, Priyanka was there, and she got her, the number she got in the queue was like 34,000, but the number I got was like 200. And then within minutes, I was on the actual page and I was booking a ticket, and I got the ticket, and I was like, oh my God.
Okay, Ankita right now is sitting on a couch and she's so excited, and I'm just sitting here like, I'm talking about booking an exam for medical school, and yeah, you're talking about booking a ticket for Harry Potter. Excuse me, this is not important. This was my story. You just walked in and
I got the tickets for Harry Potter and the Cursed Child for 2018. Okay. May, how cool am I?
Not cool at all. Anyway, I wanted to...
No, this was my announcement. I thought you would be happy for me that I got the tickets.
One person I'm really happy for is Serena Williams.
not that again.
So Ankita, I've always had a dream that I want to mark my legacy.
You just destroyed my story. Like, you took my moment away from me. I was so
it's
happy
okay.
to share this
with you. You can just go on your blog and write about it.
Okay, I think I'm going to do that.
So my whole life, Ankita, I wanted to mark my legacy, and I've always wanted to win an Olympic gold medal in table tennis while carrying twins at the same time.
What?
But Serena beat me to it because she was pregnant, and she won the Australian Open while she was pregnant. So
no. You want to be pregnant, and you want to be pregnant with twins, and you want to
be a table tennis champion,
right?
And win a gold medal.
Okay.
But then Serena got to me first, so I was like, okay.
Okay, just stole
I'll try another record.
Just stole my thunder.
How dare she?
No, I just remembered something you told me last week, where you texted me out of the blue and said, Ankita, I had the best dream ever or something. And you dreamt that you and Serena Williams were playing table tennis. And I can't understand for the life of me why she was playing table tennis with you.
Yeah, I have no idea either.
And you beat her, or she beat... What happened in your dream?
I beat her.
You beat her.
No, I'm just kidding.
It didn't even happen
even
in your dream.
I can't even beat her in my dreams.
So what happened? Like, why was she playing table tennis?
So this is what actually happened, okay? So okay. In my dream.
Actually happened in your dream, okay.
Okay, so I, at the end of June, so this is real, guys. I'm not making this up. I'm not fantasizing like Ankita does about Harry Potter.
Well, but this is real. Does have an imaginary world she lives in, so okay. I would take everything with a pinch of salt.
No, don't say that. This is true, so... Next month, I'm representing Gibraltar in an international competition to play table tennis, right?
I'm actually proud of you, but I want to make fun of you a little bit.
No, you can't make fun of me because this is like...
Yeah.
So I had a dream the other day that I was playing in this competition, and this competition is going to happen in Sweden.
Mm.
So Ankita already knows that I breathe and live table tennis every day because I'm training really hard, and that's the only thing that...
You breathe and everything else as well, like basketball, you're running, and I don't know what you're breathing nowadays, but I guess it's table tennis. Okay, I'll stop. I'm really...
Instead of like farting rainbows, it's like, it's coming...
I'm in a mood today, so I'm
going to... But anyway, so I had this dream. So I have dreams at night where I'm playing table tennis.
Mm.
And I'm actually playing matches, but this dream was really, really, really special.
Okay. God.
Because I was playing Serena Williams, right?
Hmm.
But the strange thing is, we were playing on a table tennis table, but she was playing with a tennis racket.
Oh my God. Is it like the tennis ball? Wait. What? Tennis
ball? No, it was really strange because she was doing the same strokes she does in a tennis game, those really exaggerated shots you do in tennis, which you don't do in table tennis, obviously.
Right. Oh.
But so we're playing, right?
Yeah.
And for some reason, in my dream,
yeah,
I'm playing Serena Williams in a table tennis final in Sweden. Now, this is the final.
Mm.
Now, in my dream, there was nobody in the stands.
Because no one cared.
No one cared. Okay. No one gave a crap. It was just me and her. So every time I won a point, you know, like, you want to look at the crowd or you want to do something? I had nobody to turn to, I remember. But anyway, so at the end of that dream, no, at the end of the match, sorry, when she won graciously, as she always does, she shook my hand and everything. And then I said, oh, Serena, can I interview you for Desi Outsiders?
Oh. I remember this. That's what I was saying. There's something really funny about that dream, and I can't remember that. You actually, you lost a game to her, and then you said, that's okay. Can I just interview you?
But you're right, Ankita. I breathe everything, like table tennis, Desi Outsiders. That somehow, in my mind, I managed to combine both of them together in one situation.
No, can I just also add, because our audience, they've never seen Meenul play table tennis, and I haven't watched her play live either. I've just seen some videos. And you know how you said that in table tennis, you don't have these grand moves and these, like, over-exaggerated, what did you say? Like
shots.
Over-exaggerated shots?
Strokes.
Or like,
strokes, yeah.
Yeah. You said that you don't have these dramatic shots and strokes in table tennis, but can I just point out that Meenul does all kinds of showing off when she's playing, because she's bloody good at it, right? She's bloody good at it. And I saw this video where she was against a guy and she was kicking his ass, okay? And you would start doing things like squat and get up. And
okay. I was squatting, but like, that was just to put the other player off.
You were really making that other person so uncomfortable.
I think he cried when he went home.
Yeah, you have all these grand gestures. So I don't believe it for a second that you don't have that in table tennis, because I've seen you do it. You intimidate your opponent with all of those things.
Yes, the only way I can win. But no, the point I was trying to make from the... And just note how my story was much more interesting than Ankita's. But anyway.
No, you can't take the Harry Potter thing away from me. If anyone's a Harry Potter fan and they're listening to this right now, they're going to be so happy for me, because we Harry Potter fans are never jealous when another person gets to watch the show. We're just happy.
It's like a whole different world that I just don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings.
Do you know Shane and I actually binge watched 12 hours of all the extended editions of Lord of the Rings in one weekend? We sat down and we didn't sleep. We just watched it.
Wow, that's a hashtag relationship goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the whole point of Serena Williams was that she announced on Snapchat that she was pregnant. I think she posted 20 weeks pregnant or 21 weeks. I can't remember. Mm. But some say that it must have just slipped as an accident. Because I think on Snapchat that you can send it to specific people or you can send it. So some people saw it. But just generally, most women announce after the first trimester, usually.
Mm-mm-mm.
So she's pregnant, and her fiance is the co-founder of Reddit.
Yeah.
So they're like a super couple, like amazing, right? Mm-hmm. Now this Reddit guy, he's a white guy.
Mm.
And there's this Romanian coach who made some really snarky comments to Serena Williams and her unborn child. And he said, I mean, it's not something that I think is really bad to say,
mm-hmm.
but if you are someone who's a coach, a Romanian, like a coach for a country in tennis,
yeah.
and you're saying on a public platform, I don't think it's the right thing to do.
Right.
But he, I don't know his exact words, but he says something along the lines of, oh, you're going to give birth to like a white chocolate baby or a milk chocolate baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell, he said in a very condescending way as well. Serena, as the gracious queen of tennis that she is.
she's Beyonce of tennis.
The Beyonce of tennis. She responded with a very thought-provoking idea.
Hmm.
Maybe it wasn't supposed to be thought-provoking, but I just made it thought-provoking because I like to make things thought-provoking.
Oh my
but...
God, get to the point. You said I was taking too long to get to the point. Can you just get
yeah,
to
I'm
the
getting
point?
That. So she wrote a comment on Twitter, and one of the lines was that no matter how much we say we've moved on as a society,
hmm.
there's still so much we have to get through.
Hmm.
There's still so many things that we have to achieve as a society. And I think that was such an important message because generally we think we're so... And I know even in some countries in Europe and even in India, we think, oh, we're so modernized, we're so westernized, it's all okay.
Yeah.
But these subtle changes, like in mentality and stuff, that people don't realize that it actually has a big, big impact. Like, how can you speak about an unborn child?
Well, I'm surprised it came from someone who was like the tennis coach of Romania.
Mm-hmm.
But you do know what happened when Saif Ali Khan and Kareena Kapoor decided to name their child.
Yeah, because everyone in India thought it was their child.
Yeah, everyone. And you do know the kind of comments that came out. And I don't, at this stage, unfortunately, I don't even remember the name though. Anyway, people just decided that this child was named after a plunderer or something.
His name was his name was Taimur. I think they wanted to name him Taimur, and they did. They named
Yeah, and I think people just came to the conclusion that the baby was named after a plunderer who raped Indians and plundered us and everything. And then they started saying, because everyone in India just likes to jump to the conclusion that everyone else is anti-national the minute they make any decision in their own comment.
They associated, because Taimur apparently had some association with violence in Indian history.
And the point is that people started, I mean, who cares about the history and who cares about the name? Because really, anyone who's in their right senses, people don't
but,
really...
But Angela, can I ask you, if someone named the child Hitler, what would you do?
I would laugh because it would be funny. The minute you said if someone named their child Hitler, I imagined a baby with a little Hitler mustache. That's why I laughed.
If you named your child Adolf,
I can't get the image of a baby with like very sparse hair.
First, I wouldn't name any child Adolf because it sounds like a name from like 200 years ago. But Taimur is, I think, is quite a common name to have.
Yeah.
And people think that they were giving birth to their own child.
No, the thing is, you said that society has to come a long way. It's these little things. That's why I wanted to make this point that the comments that the couple received were that I hope this child dies of cancer and I hope Kareena Kapoor also dies of cancer for bringing this terrorist into this world, is what they said. Can you imagine someone saying that about a newborn baby? How can anyone say, let this baby die of cancer because his parents decided to name him something, and let his mother die of cancer because she brought a terrorist into this? How? How can someone...
These are the same... I'm very sorry to say this, but these are the same people who will go to the mandir the next day and pray.
Yeah, because they're good people, because they pray in the mandir.
Because they pray. And then they will come back home and say that, this cricketer's wife hasn't worn the right dress.
Yeah.
She's showing too much of a shoulder.
Yeah.
This person isn't naming that. Come on, man. Yeah. Figure out your own priorities first.
Get a life. That's the thing. Get a life. Stop. How can this vile, this venom come out of your body? How can you do this?
I've made a comment before and I've said that people have too much. And I said people in India have too much time on their hands.
Hmm.
And I specifically said in India because I know people in the whole world, they will troll people. Hmm. So trolling people and not minding your business is a very universal thing.
It's a very human thing.
Find it everywhere in the world, but
yeah.
I think, like, it's only in India you find these ridiculous things where it's someone...
I really didn't want to bring this up, but I think this is the time for us to discuss something. And I haven't even told you yet, so it's not, like, something I've discussed with you yet. What happened recently was one of my friends, her brother used to be a journalist and an activist in the Maldives. And okay. He used to write satirical and sarcastic political rants on his blog. And he used to call his blog, it was called The Daily Pain. And he used to call his blog the actual newspaper of Maldives because there was a lot of restriction on free speech in the islands of the Maldives.
Okay.
And the government, there's obviously every government has its flaws, but he used to criticize his own government very openly. And turns out that he used to receive a lot of death threats from religious extremists and people who didn't like the fact that he was so open about with his opinions. And
which religion, can I ask, which religion do they mainly follow?
Muslim.
They
were Islam, because most people in the Maldives are Muslim. So there was a lot of religious fanatic, you know, crap going on, and he would receive death threats from these people openly, and he would actually report these cases to the police. He would actually put it on Twitter saying that this certain person has threatened to kill me. And on Sunday morning they found him on the staircase of his apartment with stab wounds on his neck and his chest, and he succumbed to those wounds and he passed away so you think that people have come a long way or whatever, but religious fanaticism and so many other factors still exist, and they still seem to be affecting so many aspects of your everyday lives. It was his freedom of speech, and he was murdered for it, like brutally murdered for it. And I just found out about it. I didn't even know he was a blogger and an activist till I saw this.
Ankita, the other day I found a meme on the internet, and it was a meme. You know how we find memes on the internet, like associated to medieval times?
Yeah.
Where you have those medieval photos of whether it's Jesus Christ or Mary.
we created a Desi Outsiders one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So this, usually they seem to go down okay. I mean, I've never seen anyone cause a riot about any of these things.
Yeah.
But then once you put a meme up of a photo from the Vedas or from Indian history, everyone seems to have a bloody problem about it. Like, I remember there was one photo and people got offended by it. I was like, do you even know who these people in the photo even are?
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know the story behind it. You don't know who these people are. You're just offended.
Yeah.
Because it's from ancient times?
It's the exact same thing that we were discussing the other day during the winter when the prominent director and filmmaker in India, Sanjay Leela Bansali, was attacked on the sets of his movie Padmavati, which was based on the character of Rani Padmini. And a lot of people came out and they destroyed his sets, they destroyed his equipment, they hit him. The director, this old respected person, was actually slapped and beaten up. And people took to Twitter and to social media. And we actually read an article written by a girl who kept calling the Rani Padmavati. And I wanted to like shake her and tell her, listen, if you got your history lessons right, you would know that her name was not Padmavati, her name was Padmini. She's fighting this battle, right? And she's saying that where are all the Hindus to support me? And there were many people supporting her, and I was like, can you please get at least the least you could get before publishing this was, you know, get your facts straight, get the name right.
Speaking of writing and reading, Angita, I just read today that Chetan Bhagat was accused of plagiarism.
What? I didn't read that. I thought you said Chetan Bhagat, I thought you were going to say his book 5 Point Someone is now a part of the Delhi University literature.
Really?
Yeah.
He's been accused of plagiarism. I haven't read the full story. I've just read the headlines today. But his latest book has been accused of plagiarism by a lady who had sent her book to him in 2011 or 2012 just for proofreading.
Ooh.
And he's stolen that story. Well, apparently, he's stolen that story off her. And now she's obviously trying to create a case against him. And now people are trying to say, oh, you just want money? Mm-hmm. And she's saying, no, I don't want money. I just want to bring to light that he plagiarized my work.
Yeah.
And in a country where kids get their work copied from the bhaiya down the road during the summer holidays, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but I wouldn't be too surprised if it is true. So,
but Chetan Bhagat, I haven't read many of his books, to be honest. I'm sure you've read some, I guess.
I've read two of his books.
Is he? Do you think he's a good writer? I really don't know. Like, obviously, people have heard great things about him. There was one of his books turned into a movie, and
not just one of his books. All of his books almost have.
Oh, turned, really?
Yeah. All yeah. Of Yeah.
Okay. That's how little I know.
Well, what I know is that his books are the kind of books that you can sit down and finish reading in like an hour or 2 hours max. It's like really simple, relatable language. And I wouldn't argue that that's not literature at all. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that this is a man that made people who've never read a book in their lives pick up this book and read it and relate to it. So for many people in India, especially from my generation, this is the first book, first and only book that they've read, 5.someone, because he talks about engineering life, and almost every other person in India is an engineer.
Every kid can relate to that.
Yeah,
right?
Every kid can relate to it, and every kid wants to talk about it, and every kid. So I think I would give him credit for being so relatable that everyone picked up his book. But I wouldn't say that this is a book that it was so original and so different that there's nothing that can be compared to it.
Well, I have no idea. I've never read his books, but this woman accused him of plagiarism. So it'd be really interesting to see how the story unravels, because you know how the Indian media is.
Yeah.
And we'll see a lot of...
Here's another thing. When you really like a writer, no matter what book they bring out next, you actually feel inclined to pick up that book. I have only read two of his books, and after that, like, no matter how many books he brought out, I never felt inclined to pick up those books.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Any reason? Is it because it was too, like, simple and too straight?
I think the themes that he goes for are mostly just so, I feel that they insult my intelligence a little bit.
Oh.
Sometimes, like, the latest book that he wrote, not the latest book, he wrote a book called Half Girlfriend, which got turned into a movie recently, and the trailer came out. So I've not read the book, and I saw the trailer, and I just got so irritated with it, because in the trailer it looks like it's okay for a man to sort of manhandle a woman. It's okay for a man to say that, hey, I don't speak English, which is okay because that's this person's education and background, which is like completely fine. But then there's this general vibe around the entire character and his friends that anyone who does is bad. So if his girlfriend is someone who speaks fluent English, then she's probably a slut or she's bad. I've not read the book and I don't know what the story is about, but from the trailer alone, I just got really irritated with it, because I got the feeling that that's what they were trying to say, that this is a very modern girl and she speaks good English, and this is a very ordinary boy from Bihar and he doesn't speak English, so that automatically makes her a horrible person and him a good human being. And he's in love, whereas she's not ready for commitment.
You know how they have screening for things like for overrated scenes?
Yeah,
They should have a screening for stuff like this as well.
For stupidity and stupid messages being put out there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There has to be some, especially in a country like India, where we need to move on. We need to progress as a society. And movies and TVs is a very good medium to do that. Yeah.
I mean, once again, I just want to make it really clear that there's nothing wrong in being from a tiny village and struggling to speak English, because that is like, that's perfectly all right. But looking down on someone who does it, looking down on a woman especially who is a fluent speaker of English, and a woman who doesn't want to be tied down in a relationship, and immediately deciding that the gaonwala has a good heart and the city girl is a bad person.
Well, we don't know how the story ends, but the trailer is enough for us to comment about it.
The trailer actually like pissed me off enough to say so much.
So I don't know how we went from Serena Williams to Chetan Bhagat.
Actually, we went from your exams. No, we went from your delivery room. That's where we started, your delivery room stories, to all the way to Chetan Bhagat.
So I don't know how that happened again. And here we are at the end of our brain dump. So thank you for listening. I really enjoyed this brain dump. Ankita enjoyed my stories. I didn't enjoy Ankita's stories.
Shut up. But... you know what I love about the... That was a brain fart. No, what I really love about the brain dumps, and this is something that I say even on my blog, and I will say over here 100 times, is that it feels so natural, and so many varieties of topics just get covered in one sitting. And to me, especially with the podcast, it feels like we're both just sitting and having a conversation, like a Skype call. This is what it mostly sounds like when we start talking to each other. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in.
And we hope to see you next week. Do follow us on social media at The Desi Outsiders. And until next week, I'm Meenal.
And I'm Ankita.
And we're The Desi Outsiders.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.